Hallelujah. Let's give God a great hand clap. How many are pressing towards the mark? Pressing towards the mark. Hallelujah. 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 Do me a favor, and I want you to just turn around to somebody and just say, you know what? You are the most blessed person I've met in here tonight. Amen. Just go ahead and tell somebody the truth. Amen. Go ahead and let them know how much you love them. Amen. If you haven't, turned to the other side and say, you know what? I thought I was right before, but I think you're better. Amen. Just go ahead and do it. Amen. It's all right. You're in church. Amen. It's all right. God will forgive. Amen. We are so glad to have you here today. Anybody here that is graduating from either middle school, high school, or graduate school, could you please stand so I can see who you are? Anybody? Amen. Amen. So we're going to have a big day tomorrow. We're going to have all of our great people come up, graduates, and we're going to honor them tomorrow. We're really excited about that. But I want to just stop for a second and introduce to you a couple of people that made a significant difference in my life. We started over in Venetian Gardens, and we had been released from the church that we were at, and we had bootleg equipment. When I say bootleg, man, I think for stage lights, we were just doing flashlights. You know what I'm saying? That's about the best we could do. And some people just had lighters, and then we had to counsel them, why you got a lighter? You know what I mean? Just so we had a real rough time, and I remember the Lord speaking to me, and he said he was going to bless us, and he told us to go get a shed and a storage bin because he was about to bless us. And I told him, I don't have enough to put in a storage bin, so I don't know what you're talking about, God. That's one of my first learning curves in God. How many know when God tell you to do something, you just go ahead and do it? That's there's a reason for it, right? And we were notified by these two wonderful pastors that called me, and they called me into their office and said, make sure you bring a pen and paper. And I came, and they said, Steve, whatever you want out of this church, just write it down on this pen and paper, and you can have it. And they gave us their entire equipment, many of the things for us to start our church. I want to honor the pastors, the Frasers in the back here. Let's give them a hand. Would you please stand? I mean, you guys, the most sweetest couple in the world. Thank you for making Frontier alive. If it hadn't been for them, we wouldn't be where we are today. Amen. God bless you both. Amen. Tonight, I want to get into the Word. I want to welcome all those who are watching live stream, and even those who are watching in Fort Bragg and many other places around America and in the prisons. And we want to say to you, we love you, and we want you to be a part. You are a part of who we are. As we get blessed, you get blessed. And tonight, we're going to continue in our series about finding that secret place. I want to encourage you that there is a secret place that we all must find. No one has the same secret place, or else it wouldn't be a secret. Amen, somebody. So each God man, he says, listen, if you go and pray to your Father in secret, and that's very significant because each of us has the ability to go to God ourselves. In other words, Jesus died on the cross, made room for us. He's the only King, as we learned last week. If you didn't get last week, you got to listen to it. He's the only king who gave away his kingdom. He said, listen, I want you to be like me. I want you to think like me. I want you to have overcoming power like I did. I was able to resist sin in the flesh, conquer it. No more shackles holding me down, and death can't hold me down. 3 days he got up out of the grave, and he said to us as a church, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. Now, most of us, when we hear that, we think in terms of, oh, because he's going to stand there and tell God, yeah, I know him. Go ahead and do it for him. Oh, yeah. We're good friends. Go ahead and do it for them. That is not what he meant. When we learned last week, and again, I want you to really get connected to that. Last week, we learned this, that Jesus made it very clear why he went to the Father. He says, now The Son is glorified in the Father. I'm going back to not a destination, but to a person. I'm going back to the Father. I came from the Father. I'm going back to the Father. He wasn't just another angel that was created. He was one with the Father in the beginning. In Genesis, they call him in the beginning God, created the heavens and the earth. The word God is Elohim. It is God in three persons. It is a plural word. He was in God. And he said this, it's about time for me to go home. And I'm going to die on the cross. But when I die on that cross, not only will my Father and I be one because I'm his son, but then I'm going to make it possible for you, me, and the Father to be one so that you won't have to ask me anything anymore. In fact, up until this point, you've asked me for everything. But in a minute, when I rise from the grave, you won't have to ask me nothing. Why? Because you will be able to go to the Father all by yourself and you can ask him that your joy may be full. I'm giving you the kingdom. I'm giving you the keys and I'm going to go and sit down. So you don't need me talking to God for you. You now have position in him to talk to God all by yourself. Woo! You know how crazy that was? The Bible says when he died on the cross that the veil in the temple that was meant that only the holiest of holies, they called it, the high priest was allowed to walk in. Well, guess what he did? When the high priest of our soul died, he walked up to that veil and he ripped the veil and said everybody can come in to the deep place of God. That's critical to understand when we talk about 30, 30, 30. When we said that for 30 days, we're going to dedicate 30 minutes of prayer, 30 minutes of studying God's word for 30 days. Last week we learned why it was so critical for us to go into that secret place of prayer and talk to God. But I'm here tonight to add upon the importance of what we're doing. We talked about prayer last week, but I need to talk about the word and the spirit this week. So that when you begin to do your study, you begin to see how this whole thing operates. And you can walk faster, walk more powerful. When you read the Bible, it won't be confusing for you. Anybody ever read the Bible and said, I don't know what they're talking about? Anybody ever did that before besides me? Amen. Well, I'm going to explain tonight why that happens and then what you can do about it. Amen? Does anybody want to know? Oh, that ain't enough. I'm going to go home and go eat me some grits or something. I don't even like grits, but I'm going to go home and eat them. No. Does anybody want to know the answer? That's all I want to know. Okay. Amen. Thank you. I heard them all online. Amen. Here we go. First of all, this is what I want to talk about tonight. Learning to use the sword of the Spirit by the master swordsman. Learning to use the sword of the Spirit by the master swordsman. The sword of the Spirit is very critical that we understand these lingos. They're very unique phrases we use. They were used by the Apostle Paul for illustrations, but I need you to understand that how important that the Holy Spirit is in your study time, because you can't understand the scriptures without him. Amen. You will never, ever get it without having him first. I grew up on a college campus, and everybody had a point of view. Everybody thought they were right. And people would read the Bible, and they would tell me about the Bible, and but they didn't even know who Jesus was. And they'd give me all this history, all of this stuff about the Bible, but they didn't know who the Bible was written about. Hello, somebody. In other words, the person that the Bible was written about, they didn't know them. And so all they could do was, like a history teacher, give you facts and details, but they couldn't give you understanding of what was happening in this word. And they got all bent out of shape and confused. But when you have the Holy Spirit, he will put things in order so that you understand it. Now, I'm saying this because it's important that you understand his role in everything you do when it comes to studying the Word of God. So when we ask the question, okay, well, the Holy Spirit, what's he doing here? There are three amazing things that he's doing in the earth today. Three amazing things. And I want you to go to John chapter 16, and we're going to look at starting at verse 8. Three amazing things that the Holy Spirit is doing right now among you. There are those of you who have taken up the challenge of 30-30-30, and you're walking with the Holy Spirit, and some of you are learning things you've never learned before. You're getting excited. It's reigniting your faith, reigniting your charge. It's making you go, man, it was that easy. I didn't know it. And you don't realize all that's going on, but what's going on is the Holy Spirit is working. And here's what Jesus was talking about. This is the chapter that we're really going to be delving into in the next couple weeks. But watch this. Jesus says this, and when he is come, who's the he? The Holy Spirit. Why do we call him the Holy Spirit? Because there's unclean spirits. Y'all didn't hear what I said. How many believe there's evil in the world? We are so quick to acknowledge the evil in the world, we don't acknowledge the holy in the world too. Come on, somebody. Oh, there's voodoo and there's witchcraft and there's this and there's things that go bump in the night. Well, what about the ones that walk in the light? What about the ones that can dispel the darkness? What about the ones that have power over demons and spirits and evil things? That's my God. He's not unclean. He is holy. You can't touch a holy God. A demon got no power over a holy thing. When the Bible says when we get born again, we become holy vessels. That means you can look at the devil in the face and say, you can't touch this. Come on, somebody. You can't have nothing to do with me. Why? Because now we're one in him. Now, John 16 says this. When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin. In other words, he has a job that he's doing even when you're asleep. He goes out into the corners and the streets and the hood and the ghettos, the barrios, up into Broadways and over to the rich places of the world, the high places of the world, and he's tapping on people's hearts. And he's telling them, he's reproving them of sin. In other words, he's going, this ain't right. What you're doing ain't right. There's a better way to live. You can have more than this. You can be better than this. You can have more of God than this. It doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to be so depressed you want to kill yourself. You're taking knives to your wrist. You don't have to be like this. You don't have to say, hey, you know what? Nobody loves me. Stop saying that. There is a God. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says God is love. So there is somebody out there that loves you. But if you don't know them, you'll start thinking there's nothing worth living for. And he's touching people all around the world saying, wake up. I want to reprove you and tell you sin ain't the answer for what you're trying to solve. You've got a gap as big as the Grand Canyon, and you're trying to put people in it. You're trying to put drugs in it. You're trying to put booze in it. You're trying to put pornography in it. You're trying to put business in it. You're trying to be busy in it. It's just so that you can keep on moving. But you can't fill that gap without the Holy Ghost filling you up. Out of your belly should be flowing rivers of living water. Only God can fill that space. Somebody say, only God. Only Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can fill that gap that you feel day in and day out. He says, when he's come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. And what's the next word? Is it on the screen? I hope so. Righteousness. In other words, he doesn't just tell you. See, this is where people get it all bent out of shape and broken. All Christians, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're just judgmental. All they do is judge. Judge, judge, judge. No, leave that for Judge Judy. Hello, somebody. She judges. No, Christians, we don't judge. See, the people always say, well, the Bible says judge not. Yeah, it does. And the same man who said judge not is the same man who said, judge the righteous judgment. So how can both be right? I'm not allowed to judge you by my standards, but I can judge a person by his. Otherwise, we'll never know what's right. We'll never know what's wrong. We'll never have a basis for truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not here. God, people think, oh, they're just so judgmental. No, you don't understand. Here's the second part. He says, not only does he tell you, hey, there's a better way to live, he then points you to righteousness. He says, I'm not going to leave you out here wondering what to do next. His name is Jesus. That's who you need to go to. If you find him, you'll find peace. And all around the world, the number one way that Muslims around the world are being won to Christ, whether that just is the most amazing fact in the world, is that Muslims are coming to Christ because in their dreams, they are dreaming about Jesus coming to them and saying that you can live a better life. Tell them Jesus sent you and go to this person. And they get a name and a person. They go to them and they happen to be a Christian who tells them about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is trying to get people to understand, I'm the way to righteousness. There's no other way but me. Hello. But the Holy Spirit is doing this in the earth. Look what it says. Of sin and of judgment, of righteousness and of judgment. Now, people tend to think, well, oh my goodness, you're talking about being judging. No, 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 no. That's context determines meaning. He clarified what he meant when he said judgment. He says, because the God of this world, the devil who's ripping your life apart, I have judged him. And I'm going to break off the shackles off your feet. I have caused the one who's given you all this trouble. I have broken the chains off of you from him. All you have to do is come to me. So think about it right now in the world, all around the world. Doesn't matter the hour, whether you're on the side where the sun is shining or the side the moon is shining. It doesn't matter. He has enveloped the world and he's convicting the world in all of these areas. In fact, some of you are here tonight. Some of you came to church for the first time because he was tapping on your heart, telling you there was a better way to live. And you end up coming and hearing the gospel and knowing that there is truth. Hello, somebody. But I need you to understand, he is a force, a power, and a person in the earth on your behalf. But it's important that you don't see him just in that light, but you must also include him in your studies. If he can show the world the way to truth, what do you think he'll do in your Bible study when you're born again? See, the role of the Holy Spirit is to lead you in that way. It's important that you include him. In fact, see, there's something that we haven't really talked about, and we need to understand that the Holy Spirit has something that we need. Paul describes it as a weapon. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not made from things man can make, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold in our lives. What is that weapon that he keeps talking about? Well, we can find out about that weapon when we read about, he says, I want you to put on the whole armor of God. And he begins to name the parts of the armor. Very unique, very special. He calls the first part the helmet of salvation, meaning that your mind is that's how you get to choose the right choices and make the right decisions, because your mind understands now who you are. It's the helmet of salvation. It protects you from making those bad decisions. It's the breastplate. It's that thing on this part. Breastplate of righteousness, meaning that where your heart is, that God has now put righteousness on the inside of you so that your heart can beat right. Your heart can live for him right. Now you can make the good decisions, not just from your head, but also from where? Your heart. Because you won't ever commit to anything if it's just in your head. It's got to be deep down in your heart. But then he says this, take it unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we move so fast through that. Did you just understand what he said? He said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How is the Holy Spirit conquering the enemy and winning people all around the world? He has a sword. And that sword is the word of God. And just like Jesus, when he gave us his kingdom, the Holy Spirit also gave us the sword to use the same way. The same way he does. The same way he conquers everything in his life. You have to read that word and understand how to yield and wield that sword. He is the master swordsman. He is the one that can take the word and weave it in such a way that miracles happen. When you speak it out of your mouth, it's got to come to pass because the Holy Spirit is telling you, I'm going to give you what to say in that very hour. And you're wielding the sword of the word of God, conquering every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's the word, but you can't learn it without the Spirit in you. Don't go into another Bible study without inviting the Holy Spirit to teach you how to use his word. Don't go into another Bible study or church service and say, God, teach me how to hear your word. Teach me how to yield it. Teach me how to wield it. I need to know because you're good at it. The Bible says that Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. And when the enemy came after him and said, had him in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, the devil himself came to him and said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus, yielding the sword of the Spirit, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. He learned the same swordsmanship that the Holy Spirit used. You got to include him in your study. In fact, the ultimate weapon is that sword. You must, as the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto who? God. Not unto men. Unto God. You can't just learn the Bible basic verses. God so loved the world that he gave his own. That's the only one you remember? From church school like 25 million years ago? Oh, I got one. Our Father who art. No. There's more in the Bible than just our Father. Okay. There is tons of word that you must rightly divide. In other words, you can't just take a scripture and slap it on something and think it's going to work. It must be rightly divided. It's like taking a word and plugging it into nothing when it's wrongly divided. But when it's rightly divided, it's plugging it into an electrical socket and power comes out. Hello, somebody. When you know what it means when two or more are gathered together in his name, then you know that you can call things out of heaven. That is rightly dividing the word of truth and letting the power come into your circumstance. But only the Holy Spirit can do this. Only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth and righteousness. You must invite him in. Tell your neighbor, have you given the invitation? Come on, ask him. Look at him in the eyes. Have you asked him to come? All right, so let me make it very clear to you. People cannot understand God because they don't have the Spirit of God. What? God is free to everybody. Hold on. He is. It's a gift. He's done it. But you must let him be the Lord in your life. And when he comes in, you'll understand the rest of it. How do I know this? I want you to turn to your Bibles to John 16. Verses 12 through 15. This is Jesus speaking to his own disciples who at this time in history, he had not died on the cross yet. So they didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. He just gave them power out of his authority, but they didn't have their own yet. And Jesus says, I'm about to go, but I got to tell you something. And this is what he says. And we're going to read it from the King James Version. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. But what? You cannot bear them now. Can you imagine that? There are things you cannot understand about God unless His Spirit is there to teach you. You cannot. How do you know this? Remember in the Bible when Jesus said he was really doing well in ministry. He had a bunch of disciples with him, about as many in this room. And he says, unless a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he will have no part in me. Now, what if I came out here and said that? I'm type double A, and you've got to drink my blood, and I'm going to give you all of my fingernail files, and you need to eat that. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all would leave the church too. Well, they didn't have the spirit to understand that what he was talking about was that he was referring to communion, the bread and the wine that would be offered later. The Bible says about 77 disciples turned around and walked away. They said, that's too hard. That's a hard saying right there, bro. I believe in all the miracles, but I ain't drinking nobody's blood. I'm out. Because they didn't have the spirit in them to understand. And when he comes to the end of his life and he's speaking to his disciples, he says, there's many things I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. However, or how be it, when he, watch this, the Spirit of truth is come. When he shows up, he will what? Guide you into what? What is he talking about? What's all truth? Just the Bible? No. It's all truth. Science, geology, nursing, medical field, electricity, astronomy, bibliography, everything in the world, he can lead you into that truth. Why? Because he is truth. Genius came from him. Science came from him. Mathematics came from him. Medicine came from him. Genius dripped off of him. Hello, somebody. He is God Almighty. Everything came as a byproduct from him. He has it all. So why in the world would we trust the finite in this world and not trust the massive and incredible presence and spirit of God from which all understanding comes by allowing him to come inside of us and teach us and lead us into all truth? Why would we dare study another hour, another day, another minute without that understanding that without God, we can't get none of it. The Bible literally says you must grow by grace. What does that mean? You can't stuff the word down your throat and think you can understand it. There is an intelligence behind your understanding. There is a God who weaves you through the word, shows you what you need to know at the time you need to know it. There is a brilliance behind your Bible study because he won't give you more than you can handle. And he's teaching the church how to think, feel, walk, talk, and be wielders of the sword of the Spirit. You have to invite the sword master into your study. You must understand that he says, I will lead and guide you into all truth. For watch this now. This is the beauty of it. Jesus says this. He will never come to you and speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will never come and say, hey, my name is Bob. Hey, look how good I am. He'll never do that. Listen. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I shared this with some people that I was at home, and this might be a little deep for some people, but just hold on, hold on. I told God I didn't understand time. It's crazy, right? Who would ask God about that? Time. What? I don't understand time. It doesn't make sense to me. Is it endless or is it finite? Is it go on forever or is there a beginning and an end to it? And when we read Genesis, God showed me, he says, in the beginning, God made the stars and the suns and the moon for times and seasons. And he says that he began to teach me. He says, Steve, I'm above time. Time cannot define me. It just documents me. Time, I'm above it. So I'm eternal. I'm not time. I'm not bound by time. I'm timeless. How do I know that's the truth? Because he said, Steve, have you ever prophesied? I said, yes, sir. And he says, what is prophecy? And in my mind, I saw it. I'm standing here today. God takes me above time, takes me to the future, brings me down back into time, shows me what's going to happen to a person's life, brings me back out of time, all the way back to my present, and then tells me to say it to the person. Timeless. The only way I can do that is I got to have a way to beat time. And by prophecy, I can beat time. The Bible says Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. His spirit is above time. Only the Holy Spirit can teach us things that the earth can't teach us. I show you another thing. He says he will show you of things to come. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit's job in this world is to glorify Jesus. For he shall receive of Jesus and shall show it unto you. So if you've ever had a word from the Lord, if you ever heard the voice of the Lord, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was a word coming from Jesus to you. That's special. Look what it says in the word. And he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath is mine. Therefore say I, he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Now, why is it so important then that the Spirit be involved in our Bible studies as we do this 30, 30, 30? Here's why. I want you to go to John 6 and 63. John 6 and 63. Jesus begins to tell you about the words that he's telling you. John 6 and 63 says this. It is the Spirit of God that quickeneth. Quickeneth means to bring to life, to bring something illuminated, to bring life to it. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. But the flesh, meaning this stuff we live in, profiteth nothing. I know people that are smart as a whip and they don't know God. And they're dying right here and on earth. You got to have the Spirit. It brings life. Now watch this. He said this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Do you understand what that means? That means in order to... The words that Jesus is speaking aren't just words on a page, even though they're documented in ink. They're spiritual words and carry a life with them. That's why the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. How can a word heal a person? Because it's spirit and it's what? Life. When that centurion said, my servant is sick, he says, but if you just send your word, I know he'll be made whole. Why? Because the word is spirit and it is what? Life. God's word isn't to bring death to you. It's to give life to you. The enemy has lied to you and told you, no, it's just trying to take your life away. No, it's trying to give you life. His word is spirit and it is life. Now watch this. So then how do you understand spiritual words? Just because a person says, I'm spiritual, don't mean they're spiritual. I've had people say, I'm a spiritual person. No, you're not. You don't even know Jesus. You can't even be spiritual unless you know Jesus. Hello. You got to have a spirit in you. You just think you know something. That ain't spiritual. Because you can talk deep. And you got words that sound wise. That don't make you spiritual. That makes you verbose. Y'all missed that. That means full of words. Anyway. Okay, let's go on. Anyway. So there are only way you can be called spiritual is by having a spirit. Now, how can you understand his word? The word can only be spiritually understood by uniting with the Father's Spirit. Let me prove it. Romans 8, chapter 7 and through 9. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. I want to show you something. He tells you that there are people in this world that don't get it. They resist God, his word, and anybody talking about him because they don't even understand his word. They're lost at the time. But as soon as I preach the word to them, they got a chance to be saved. This is why God calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay? How? If you go to Romans, we're going to go to Romans. Well, let me do this and then I'll show you. He says this concerning the mind of a person who doesn't know God. I can't read that. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. The mind that is all about itself, selfishness, is like an enemy against God. And it says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It is so rebellious. So then they that are in the flesh, you can't please God. You can't make God happy being stuck in your flesh. You have to begin to walk in the Spirit. Look at what he says. Look at what it says. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are not to live in the flesh, but to live in the Spirit. If it so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if you say you have the Spirit of God, then he needs to take the lead in your life. And he says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You have to have the Spirit. Why? Watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 15. And then I've got one verse and we'll close out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's bring it home for you to understand. This is why you need the Spirit when you do the 30, 30, 30. You know, many years ago, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in church before, like old school church, and they used to stand up and say, I just want to say I love the Lord. You know, the Lord is ahead of my life. And I love the Lord Jesus, and I just want to let everybody know I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And they sit down. And then another person gets up. I just want to say I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I love Jesus. And then they sit down. And I'm seeing all these church people get up and say how much they love the Lord. And I had been saved probably about 5 months. And I'm saying, love the Lord? I don't even know the Lord. I ain't never met the man. How can I honestly say I love him if I've never met him? This is how I was thinking. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I can't stand up and say, you know, I saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I love Jesus on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. Choo-choo. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So I got mad. Somebody say, I got mad. I got mad. I went back home, and I opened up my Bible. And I went to that verse we read. I said, hold on. And I was reading. I'm like, I don't know you, man. I gave my life to you because I felt compelled. But now that I did it, I don't know what in the world I was doing. How can I say I love you and be your disciple if I don't know you? I don't know you, man. And then I read a verse where it says, the Holy Spirit would not come and speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. I said, what? I said, wait a minute. You mean you have a spirit that ain't going, that will tell me who you are? I'm in my room right now doing my Bible study. You, are you serious? How long has this verse been here? And I stood up in my chair. Well, you can't stand up. You kind of sit back. Anyway, you know what I mean. So I sat back in my chair and I said, Holy Ghost, do your job. I didn't know no better. That was the first time I heard of him, right? I said, do your job. Because I'm like, if your job is to tell me about him so I can say I love him, then tell me. Because every time I talk about him, I feel uncomfortable. I'm tired of feeling uncomfortable. Like, hey, Steve, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I love God, but I can never say I love Jesus. He wasn't intimate with me. He wasn't real to me. And when I said, Holy Spirit, do your job, closed my Bible, went to my room, and went to sleep. I was done. And I was sleeping. You ever had that? You ever went to bed and you go to sleep and then you just wake up like you... like you just laid down? Anybody ever had that happen? Let me see your hand if that ever happened to you. You just, oh, and there goes the alarm. You're like, dog, I didn't even feel it. Well, I had gone to bed, and I went to sleep, and I woke up the next morning complete, like 2 seconds later. Boop, and it's like, and I got up on my bed, and I went, Jesus, 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 Jesus! And I began to scream his name because for the first time in my life, I could say his name like I know him. It was like he and me were buddies. We knew each other from the day we were born. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew him. And I was screaming his name that morning. Nobody can do that for you but the Holy Spirit. Nobody can bring that revelation to you but the Holy Ghost. Nobody can do that for you. You may not know him, but you can know him. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. If you just ask, he will give you what you want. Hello, somebody. That's the beauty of my God. It's the beauty of my Jesus. He will give you his best. Woo! I still feel it. Y'all don't understand being the only guy in church that couldn't stand. Hey, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I love Jesus. I got to church the next week. Hey, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I love Jesus. Yes, I did. You can see everybody going, praise the Lord, son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have a seat, ushers. They didn't understand. That's big for me. Why is it important for us to preach? Watch this. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them to us by... for the Spirit does what? Yea. Now, he's going to explain this. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, how can you know about yourself except your own spirit tell you about yourself? You know you, right? And then it goes on to say, even so, the things of God no man can know but the Spirit of God. You can't know God's mind without knowing his spirit, which he shed abroad to all of us so that you can know his mind. That we, watch this, even so the things of God no man knoweth but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. That once and for all, I don't have to guess about God. I can know it. Know the things that are freely given to us of God. What is it that you don't even know you have? that God is waiting to give to you. All you have to do is ask. You think you got good stuff now? Watch this. I love this part. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us to God, which things we also tell you about, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, not wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. I'm teaching right now, not by man's wisdom, but by the Holy Spirit of God. I am listening to him and telling you to so that you may understand how to receive what God has for you. And I can, as it says here, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I can do that. But the natural man, or the man who doesn't know the Lord, hasn't asked him in his heart, is not living or walking with him. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually. You can't get mad because the world don't love your Jesus. There's no way for them to know. That's why you have to go. Quit bothering people. We just the meanest group. You got to know Jesus or you're going to hell. You're going to burn. Would you stop? There's no way they can understand him unless you tell them. Unless you explain to them who he is, so they can get what you have. What do you have that the world doesn't have? You have all things given to you. His Spirit is given to you. All the kingdom is given to you. And yet we point our finger into the world and we say, ah, you're not going to make it. No, the person pointing ain't going to make it. No. Our job is to tell people about him. Why am I saying this? Look at this. Because they can't know them. This is a plea, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't a condemnation. This is a plea about those in the world. They can't understand you, and neither can they. Because they're spiritually discerned. They're never going to get it unless you tell them about it. Watch this. But he that is spiritual, what? Judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, when you are a spiritual man, you can judge the things of what's going on in this world. And no man can put his finger on you. He can't judge you. Because your judgment is of God. And I'm going to close this last verse and we're going home. So what do you do with it? I keep doing this. Number one, you've got to ask him into your Bible study. 30-30-30. But then how do you get somebody that doesn't know him to get what you have so you and them can know him? Go to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 8. Romans 10. Starting at verse 8, as we get ready to close. 10 and verse 8. The Bible begins to tell us here, this is Paul the Apostle sharing with us about the need for people to know God. And he begins to say this word that I think is absolutely amazing. He's talking about, what does the word say concerning this matter of helping someone know him? What does it say? And look what it says in verse 8. But what saith it? Talking about the word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Let me say this way. The only way people can get faith is when you preach faith. to them. You tell them they can believe on him. And the moment that you do it, it becomes near them, even in their mouth and in their heart. You have to understand how powerful this is. All I do every weekend is toss seeds of the word out. And you don't have to receive it this Sunday. But once I say it and you heard me, you'll never get rid of it. The only way a person can cause that seed to grow is if you say something, you plant the seed by giving them the word of faith, which we preach to you. You got to preach it. You've got to tell somebody. And the moment they gather and hear that word, it gets in their heart and it's nigh to their mouth because it's the word you spoke. Now they have enough measure. To every man is given a measure of faith. You have given out a measure for them to activate. And then when they confess, they can have what you have. Paul put it this way. He says this, that if you shall confess that word that's already in you with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart, that God has risen from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 14, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at your neighbor and say, hey, preacher. Oh, y'all didn't say it like you meant it. No, no. Y'all were scared. I ain't no preacher. That's your job. No, it ain't. I got mine. I'm giving you yours. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, preacher. That's your job. That's your job, 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 your job. Tell somebody about him. Don't just let the Holy Spirit put it in you, but then you put it in somebody else. And when you tell somebody Romans 10:9-10, how to come to Christ, then they have it. Give them a fighting chance. Give them a chance to have God in their life. Take up the banner. Take up the sword. Would you stand and fight for another soul? Take it up. Give them a chance to live for eternal life. Give them an opportunity. Tell them. Tell them. It might be your coworker, your best friend, your mama, your daddy, the police officer giving you the ticket. I say that's the best time to preach. And the Lord said to you, sir. No. Give somebody a chance to have what you got. Would you stand to your feet, please?